Well, good morning to you. And it sounds like love is in the air with a wedding coming on Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from Monday. Love is in the air, and I'm very aware that there are some newly engaged couples in our congregation as well. It makes me think and ask the question, how do you know that you're loved? You know, when you have that relationship that's developing and you have that ooshy-gooshy feeling in your tummy, how do you know that it's love? Well, I guess we could take the flower test, right? You probably have done the flower test, haven't you? Sometime in your life, you thought, well, let me see. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Have you ever had that sinking feeling when you think, oh, I don't know if she loves me. I don't know. Well, fortunately, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we have a more accurate test than the flower test. And actually, last week, Pastor Ham guided us through the first six verses of 1 John chapter 2. And we saw a more accurate test than the flower test. We discovered that, here's some phrases I caught from last week's sermon. We discovered that genuine faith is marked by obedience. I wrote that in my notes. Maybe you did too. That's not perfect obedience, but it's progressive growth in obedience. I'm so thankful that Pastor Ham added that caveat there because I don't love perfectly, but it's that progressive growth to loving more and more. And in Pastor Ham's words, obedience is one of the signs of spiritual life. That's more accurate than the flower test. And I'm thankful that we have something more solid than the flower test. Well, today, as we continue in this series, Living in the Light, we're going to narrow down obedience to one specific area. And it's so practical today that you've already lived it or disobeyed it. You've already done it today. It's active in your relationship with others, in your home, and right here in the church house with your family and your church family. You see, it's the topic of love. And love is the neon bright sign that we are living in the light. You see, consistently loving one's fellow believers is a sign that one has genuine faith in the Lord Jesus. But the opposite is true. A lack of love for one's fellow believers is evidence that one does not know God. So we're going to start this morning by listening to these words in 1 John chapter 2, and you can find it in your Bible. It's also going to be projected in the wall behind me. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 7, we pick it up this week, where we read these words, Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This morning, we will learn that living in the true light by truly loving one another. And so I ask you just to bow in prayer with me. And maybe the words from the Apostle Paul as he prayed for the Philippian church are appropriate for the church here at Shawnee Hills today. Because it's my prayer that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, Father, that comes through your Son, Jesus. And Father, it's to your praise and glory we commit these next 30 minutes to you, asking that you would show us how to live in the light by loving one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready for this morning? I hope you're awake. Are you ready? Because here's your first question. How good were you listening? What was the very first word in our scripture reading from 1 John chapter 2? First word? Say it again. Well, even before Pastor Adam started calling us beloved, the Apostle John was already using that word in an affectionate way of addressing his readers. So you thought it was just Pastor Adam. No, it was the Apostle John who called his readers beloved. And he's going to repeat this now in our study through 1 John. You're going to see that address, beloved, beloved, beloved. You're going to see it again and again. And it's very appropriate. It's very appropriate because this man, the Apostle John, the one who was loved by Jesus, spoke often in the Gospel of John and here in 1 John about this topic of love. Very appropriate. And now we're turning our focus, well, last week in our text we saw the commandments, a reference to the commandments, plural. But now John is taking the commandments and focusing down to one particular commandment. And you're going to see this, that the Lord's going to instruct us through John's writing, instruct us to love one another. And so it is in verse 7. We read, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." And by the way, you have heard this again and again this morning. I'm going to talk about loving one another. Have you ever heard a sermon on loving one another? We sure have, haven't we? But again, as we said last week, or Pastor Ham said last week, there's a reason that the Apostle John keeps going around and around to some of these topics. And if there's one topic that we need to hear again and again, it is the topic of love. Because we have a way of kind of bumping each other from time to time. We have a way of getting under each other's skin. I'm not talking about what happened in your house this morning necessarily, though it maybe happened there, but it happens all the time. You see, in verse 7, we're going to discover that living in the light means we have a new priority. We have a new priority. Now, the emphasis on old commandments. Did you get that, old commandment? You see, some have calculated 613 Old Testament commandments. That's one count, and it depends how you count. It can be a variety, but there's a lot of Old Testament commandments. And thankfully, Moses boiled them all down in Exodus chapter 10. Nope, Exodus chapter 20 to 10 commandments. And you're familiar with those from Exodus 20. But Jesus now boils them down in the New Testament to two commands. Jesus said this when asked about what was the greatest commandment. He responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and all the prophets depend on these two commandments. 613:10, all boiled down to these two. Jesus reminds us that the old commandment is twofold. Twofold. Now, the first one being that we are commanded to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then Jesus reminds us that we are commanded to love others. Love others, not to seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. And this is from Leviticus 19. So we have two commandments that Jesus has boiled it all down to these two commandments. And living out these two commandments, if we just live these out, it helps us fulfill all the other commandments. As stated by the Apostle Apostle Paul in Romans, he said, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are all summed up in this word. What is the word? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, this old commandment was twofold. And the old commandment we see in this text was from the beginning. Did you catch that? From the beginning in verse 7. It was from the beginning. According to the very creative order, when man was created, he was given the responsibility to care for God's creation. And that includes the people. That includes the people. We should care for one another. We should love one another. That's from the beginning. But sin messed everything up. Everything. And right away, sin entered the world, and you have Adam, who loved this woman. He starts blaming this woman, and she blamed Adam. And pretty soon, they're blaming Satan. Next chapter, you have Cain killing his own brother Abel. Sin messed everything up. This commandment that was from the beginning was messed up. Mankind hasn't been the same since. If you bumped a brother or a sister this morning, or if you said an unkind thing on the way here about another driver or your neighbor or whatever it is, sin messed everything up. According to the old nature, the BC person, the before Christ person you were, we're described as people who were foolish before Christ. We were disobedient. We were led astray. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our day in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's from Titus. That's the person in the old nature before we were in Christ. But there is a but here. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done in us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. The washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. There is hope for us. We're not doomed to be enslaved by the old nature. We have the ability to obey the new command as well as the old command. We have that ability. Even as Paul taught the Thessalonians, he said, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. So evidently the Thessalonians, these people in that church, had grown to love one another. And how did that growth take place? It was the work of the Holy Spirit. They were taught by God to love one another. You see, the ability to genuinely and consistently love one another is a mark of the Holy Spirit's work in one's life. As the late Warren Wiersbe said it this way, it is important that we understand that the meaning of Christian love, it is not a shallow, sentimental emotion. Okay, that's not what Christian love is, that the Christian is trying just to work up on his own strength so they get along with each other. Nope. This Christian love, it's a matter of the will rather than emotion. It's a matter of determining, of making up your mind that you will allow God's love to reach others through you. Through you. I like that. And then acting toward them in the loving ways. This is obedience to God. It's keeping the new commandment as well as the old commandment. You see, we need to be purposeful and genuine in our love for one another, because walking in the light means we have a new priority and we have a new pattern. That's the next point in your outline. We have a new pattern. It comes from verse 8 where we read these words. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which was true in him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So does this, some of us may be a little confused right now. We're talking about an old commandment, now we're talking about a new commandment. What's going on here? Does this seem contradictory to you? Well, I was helped by my research and my study to discover that there's two different Greek terms for new. There's two different Greek terms. And one of those Greek terms describes something that's new in time. In other words, it's fresh. It's something that wasn't previously there. It's kind of like this cell phone. This is an S25 cell phone. So in 2023, it wasn't previously there. I hope I'm saying all this right. So you get the concept, it's new in time. It's new. That's one of the Greek words. But then there's this other Greek word that's used here about the new commandment. It's another Greek word, kenos. And it's referring to new in quality. It indicates a substance. It's novel. It's uncommon. It's unheard of. It's not my S25 because it's not the latest and greatest. What is the new S phone? Is there a S26? I don't even know. But it's not the latest and greatest. And it won't be, will it? Very soon, you know that technology especially is always changing. And this word we're talking about is talking about the greatest there is, the best there is. This is the new commandment. It's this concept of that Greek word, the new commandment. It is a call to love as no other has ever loved. It should be the best love out there. Love according to the old commandment that was from the beginning, that was in the Old Testament law, that had developed into an outward act of duty. But the new commandment that we're reading about right now, this new commandment with the aid of the Holy Spirit, is to love one another better than ever. And this may seem impossible to us, but you'll be glad to know it was not impossible for Jesus. The new commandment, you'll notice in verse 8, it says, was true in him. Jesus is that pattern. And the hymn in this verse points us all the way back to Jesus in verses 1 and 2 of this same chapter. Jesus loved as no other man ever loved. He is the model, the perfect pattern for love. Jesus willingly left the glories of heaven to walk the dusty soil of planet Earth, to live among rebellious creatures that he created. That's love. He willingly did that. Jesus saw the crowds, and he knew what was in the hearts of those people, and yet the scriptures tell us that he had compassion upon them. He healed them. He fed them, and eventually he died for them. This is love according to the new commandment. Jesus even, this one amazes me, Jesus willingly stooped down and washed his betrayer's feet. And then Jesus, even from the cross, looked upon his own people who had betrayed him, had denied him, and the soldiers who had crucified him. And from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." Do you know how it finishes? Say it with me. "For they know not what they do." Jesus is the model. Jesus is showing us the greatest act of love. The quality of Jesus' love is beyond comparison. And this is why the text says this new commandment was first true in Christ. It was first true in Christ. He kept the new commandment. Jesus demonstrated this new way of loving others, and there's no greater example of loving one another. And if we want to learn to live according to the new commandment, we need to watch Jesus. We have four gospel records that show us the way he perfectly loved the crowds about him. And yet, as he did that, the circumstances were against him. They challenged him all the time, and yet he loved perfectly. Sometimes we think, "I can never love that person." Jesus did. He loved he even washed his betrayer's feet. He loved his crucifiers. Jesus shows us this new command, and he is the pattern of it. And Jesus said these words, and recorded also by John in his gospel. John writes, "Love each other," he records the words of Jesus. This is it. "Love each other even as I have loved you." Jesus is our pattern. And this new commandment that I'm writing to you, which was true in him and, do you see the next phrase? And in you. You see, this new commandment is now supposed to be true in his followers' lives. Jesus' followers, and I'm looking at Jesus' followers right now. Don't think we're talking about the 12. We're talking about us. Those who are part of the church of Jesus Christ, not just Shawnee Hills right now, but we're talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the universal church. We are to demonstrate the new commandment as Jesus did. We're supposed to follow his example. We're supposed to stand out in a dark world. And why can we do that? Because we're loving as Jesus loved. John chapter 13 records these words from Jesus. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you, that you love one another. Listen to this. Just as I have loved you. And you also are to love one another. And then this is John 13, 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So let's understand that we need to follow Jesus' example in this way to love one another as we're called to do. Because walking in the light means we have a new priority, as we've seen. We have a new pattern. And we have a new practice. This comes from verses 9 through 11. We have a new practice. Listen to these words. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, loving others should happen in word and in deed. You know, later on, and John's going to write this in this epistle, the 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read these words, let us not love in word or talk only. It doesn't say only, but it says in deed and in truth. You see, too often, when it comes to this subject of love, we're guilty of the sin of omission. We're guilty of the sin of omission, which means we don't do what we know we should do. If love has just become lip service, it's not according to this new commandment. If we sense God is calling me to serve or calling me to give, I need to do it. I need to do it. Just do it. So often, it's the sin of omission, but it also can be the sin of commission, and that's what's referred to in this passage. Even worse than taking no action to love a brother or a sister that you've been called to love, even worse than that is when we harm or belittle others. This is described as the sin of commissions, doing what we shouldn't do. And there's a whole list of those in Galatians 5 where it talks about the acts of the flesh. And there's some of them that refer to our relationships with one another when it says the acts of the flesh include hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. You see, consistency in one's life of these signs means there's something missing. It may mean that there's no genuine faith in Jesus Christ. There's no Holy Spirit within to guide one. This is bad. And the text tells us that whoever hates a brother is still in darkness. It's a sign. It's a test that we may not be in the light if we're committing the sins of omission, not loving as we should, or omission or commission, doing things we shouldn't. This can be a sign that we're not really in Christ. And by the way, I should say from here, it even mentions that the one who is walking in the darkness does not know where he's going. You know, that hating others is really self-deceitful. It's really self-deceptive. And what I mean by that is so often we can justify why I hate that person. Why? They're getting what they deserve. That's the fruit. They've sowed that seed and they deserve that. You see how we can be self-deceived? How we can be hateful towards a brother? This is why he doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So one of the questions that has hounded me during this week, and I've talked about it off and on, and I still don't fully grasp the answer, is how do you know the difference between dislike and hatred? I'm wrestling with that. Is it sinful to not necessarily be on the same page with someone else? You see why I'm wrestling with this? Because some of you are too. Does that mean I hate the person? And yet maybe this little blurb from a commentary I read helped me more than any other. Now, let's be clear that hatred and dislike are different. Verses are different. We shouldn't be talking about disliking a disagreeable brother or sister. There will always be people who we don't necessarily connect with or get along with. But John's words focus on the attitude that comes when we despise them or treat them with vengeance. Those things are wrong. And so if I'm beginning to have vengeful thoughts or thoughts of wishing them ill, then that's when it moves to hatred. And there's a fine line here, and maybe you can help me better understand this, or maybe I can help you. We can talk about that more. But what I want you to pick up here from this whole conversation is that there are some active steps that we can take to help us love one another better. And I'd like to just end with some practical ideas for you. Practical ideas about loving in word. We can encourage one another with our mouth, can't we? And if we had time, we would go to James and show you how our mouth can be used to praise and to encourage. We can use words that speak with kindness, or we can offer affirmation. These are loving with our words, or we can also love with our deeds, and both should happen, right? We've just seen that. Both should happen. We can do acts of service, like shoveling snow for someone. We can meet each other's physical needs. We can give time and genuinely listen to one another, not be distracted, but let them talk while I listen. Or we can serve without expectation. That means serve someone without any type of recognition. So where do we even start with all this? Well, I think we start where Jeff read. Jeff, you read from 1 John chapter 4 earlier. I think those are great words. It goes all the way into chapter 5. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. It starts with new birth. And anyone who loves God loves whoever has been born of him. Where do we start? It starts with the love of God. You know, maybe the flower test isn't all that accurate. It's not all that accurate, but we do have signs that we love God. But the one test that we have that shows us that God loves us comes from Romans chapter 5, where we read these words: God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, what's the test? Christ died for us. He died for us. If we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, We need to have love for one another. And we need to watch Jesus and how he loves others, and so should we love one another. I'm going to bow in prayer, and I ask you to bow too, because and the music team's going to come, and we're going to sing about having the mind of Christ. What a way to end, because that's our desire, Father, that you would fill us with the truth of Jesus, your Son. You sent him as our sacrifice, as our Savior, but he also told us that Jesus is an example to us on how we should live. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We want to say thank you for Jesus, and help us to become more and more like him. In his name we pray. Amen.